Amen. Father, we thank you for your love that has really gathered us together once again. We thank you for the awareness of this love in this special season, Father, that really highlights the amazing grace, the amazing love that you've given to us. Even while we were yet sinners, you sent forth your only Son. Father, we thank you so much. We ask for understanding of this season. We ask, God, that we will just give us more understanding how to really appreciate this gift that you've given to us and to walk in the fullness of what you have given us. So, Father, we give you glory. Thank you for everyone on this line. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for the passion, the zeal you put in their hearts for you. Continue, Father, to give us the grace to serve you and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas to all of you. And we just continue to celebrate this wonderful season. Today, I've been just kind of praying and just waiting, and so many things, you know, just God is just filling your heart with all kinds of revelation, understanding. But many times you see on the signs, people will say Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, there's always an emphasis on the reason for the season. So tonight, as we're praying, what is really coming to me is, what can we offer the Lord in this season that will be pleasing to him? How can we celebrate this season that literally will mean something to heaven? How can we put emphasis on this season that will not only be us celebrating, but heaven also celebrates? And there is nothing more important to heaven than souls. He says, when one person comes to the Lord, he says, the angels rejoice, brings so much joy. And that's the reason for the season, is God sent his only Son to die for sinners and to seek and to save the lost. So I just want to share a prayer point. And then based on that prayer point, I will just ask maybe one or two or three people to answer two questions I'm going to ask. And then we will take the response from that. And then we're going to just, you know, pray today just to believe God to receive something refreshing from the earth towards heaven in this season. So it's not just us, you know, celebrating and enjoying it in the flesh, but we want heaven also to receive a blessing in the form of salvation. The word religion, there's some people speaking on the background. Maybe you might not be aware we're hearing. So thank you so much. Yeah. The amazing wonder of God, you know, leaving his throne, his Son, to become flesh is so deep that, you know, Paul used the word the mystery of godliness. That means God manifested in the flesh, mystery. And then 1 John says that because this thing is so deep, one of the exposure of the spirit of Antichrist is that it's impossible for a spirit of Antichrist or somebody living in that or working in that level of blindness will never believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that God came in the flesh. That's how deep this is. It's impossible for a human mind to wrap around this. So, and born by a virgin, you know. There's a statement also that was made in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, there was a statement that was made all the way from the foundation, Genesis, and the word of the Lord was, he spoke to the serpent, he said, you're going to crawl on your belly now, you're going to eat dust. And then his father, he said, your head will bruise the feet of this woman, and he will bruise your head. Actually, let me just read it, because it's so important. He said in Genesis 3, he said, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, that's the word of the Lord that God spoke right from the fall of man. And so many prophecies about this seed, this child. And as we are on the line tonight, there was a word that also was read about, unto us a child is born, and to us a son is, you know, and the government shall be on his shoulder. You know, with prophecies, a virgin shall conceive. And of course, it talks about Emmanuel, and all the way from Genesis to the New Testament, and all of a sudden, God fulfilled what he spoke thousands of years to show the faithfulness of the word of God. The seed, this incorruptible seed, the word became flesh and was born by a virgin. And this is a season, once a year, for 2,000 years about that, that we remember this, we celebrate it. So today, one of the most dangerous things about religion is religion turns significant and very spiritual, very things that God carries with heavy esteem. Religion turns it into a tradition. And then religion turns it into an outward thing, and loses the power of the spiritual significance. So, for example, there was something that happened in the Old Testament when the children of Israel disobeyed God. Serpents came out and started biting them, and they were dying. And all of a sudden, as Moses was crying and God started forgiving them, God told Moses how the problem will be solved. He says, take this serpent and put it on a pole. A dead serpent, put it on a pole. And then when the people look at the serpent, they will be healed. That was a word. That was a spirit. That was the word of the Lord. As they obeyed, they were healed. Down the road, not long after then, the children of Israel took that same principle and turned it to a religion. They started idolizing the wood and the serpent, and turned it into an idol and started worshiping it. So religion is always takes very significant spiritual things and turns it to an idol and start worshiping it, and then we'll lose the significance of it after so many years. But everything God has done is always to cause us, on memorial days like this or significant seasons, or like the feast or Resurrection Sunday or Passover or whatever, those days are to be days where, outside the physical celebration, which is normal, but it's to be within that week, that season, we should really do an inventory. It should be a time of serious reflection. What does this really mean? And what does it mean for God's Son to be manifested in flesh? What does it mean to unbelievers when I was an unbeliever? Now, what does it mean to me? And now that I'm born again, what is the extent of this Son, the package of this gift? Have I opened all the gift, or have I just opened the salvation, or have I just opened just the part that I want to see? Have I really opened the full package of this gift so that I can appreciate this gift that has been given to me? You know, so these are just reflections that we can have so that this season will not just be something we only celebrate with family and enjoy and reach out, but it will be something that will provoke another place of opening something in this season that we've never been before in this package. It's just like cell phone. You know, some of us, we have cell phones, but we can only use it to the level to which is convenient for us. But if we really dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and people, there is more use to it, more benefits to it, more. So these are seasons that we need to reflect. Why did he come in the flesh? And why did he come and was born in a stable? Why wasn't he born in a palace? Why wasn't he born in a king's house? Why was he born in a stable? You know, why was he born through a virgin? You know, these are reflections that the Holy Spirit can take us to places in scriptures we never thought, if we utilize this atmosphere very well, so we can benefit spiritually. And then another question we need to ask ourselves is, what does this season mean to unbelievers? Why are they called unbelievers? I was once an unbeliever. So if, what does it mean to unbelievers? Why are they called unbelievers? And then, now that I'm a believer, what does this gift mean to me? And how can I become this gift to my generation or to unbelievers? What is this season saying to me? If, you know, what does this season mean to me? And if I'm not really maximizing this package, this gift, how do I pray for this season to really be meaningful to me? The reason I'm sharing this is, for some reason, I really got, I take seasons very seriously, and I start crying to God, I really want to benefit from this. I don't want this to just pass by. I want this to be another building block in the things you're doing, you know, spiritually. So during the feast season, Passover, I will do a research on Passover. And I will say, God, show me more about Passover. What does it mean to the Jews and to the church? What is it here that I need more understanding? When it comes to the Pentecost, okay, what is Pentecost? You know, what does it mean to the Jews? What does it mean to us? What are the full benefits of this? You know, God, show me. God, help me. I want to know the significance of the impact of this to me. What does tabernacle mean? You know, these are things God has established. They are mysteries of what God has laid out in his creation, you know, that benefit us spiritually in our joining with the Lord. So we can never exhaust the depths of some of these things, but we cannot limit ourselves to what we already know. So it's always good to go from glory to glory, from revelation, understanding to understanding, so that these seasons will have more impact in our lives than just the other, you know, benefits we receive from it. So the question is, there's a prayer that Paul prayed, and this prayer is very important for us to be mindful of it in every season that we find ourselves with the things of God. And the prayer is one of the most humble prayer we can ever pray on a daily basis, weekly basis, on a feast time. And this is this prayer. It was directed to the church of Ephesus. This is one of the most powerful church of that time. And this is what Paul was praying. He says, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul talks about all the spiritual blessings and other stuff. He got to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he established the prayer point. He said, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And here it says, and has put all things under his feet. Again, going back to Genesis, says the seed of this woman will bruise the head of serpent. You know, so what did Jesus, what did God, somebody also mentioned today about the book of John, he was the, in the Word of God, you know, incarnate the Word, and the Word became flesh, you know, and, you know. So what does it mean that in this season, the whole world is impacted for thousands of years now? In this season, the whole world is aware or impacted by the awareness of the birth of Jesus in such a significant way. So what does it mean to me personally today? Have I opened all the package? What areas of the package have I not opened? And then what does it mean to unbelievers? And what should I do to make to really appreciate this gift as long as I live in this world? You know, especially in this generation. So today I just feel, instead of, you know, going into a lot of you know, we continue, we need to take advantage of just the great highlight, the awareness and the excitement of this season, and pray some prayers that we believe with all our heart God will, angels will be activated, and we will see some people really come to God in this season. So I pray that after, you know, I'm going to ask this question, and after that we'll pray some prayer points, that this season will not only leave us celebrating, you know, Christmas. If that's where we stop, then we have really bought into the culture of the world, and it's become a religious activity to us, a tradition. But if we take advantage of this window of time and really covenant in prayer or reflect deeply with the Lord, I believe that it will bring an increase of the revelation and the riches of the glory that this gift means to us. So every season, just as a testimony, I do that. And every season, God adds to my understanding and does some impact. So I'm believing this Christmas that God is going to just open up something so amazing about Jesus coming, that I've not even tapped into, I have not even known. And I want that aspect of this gift of Jesus to become real in my personal walk with him, you know, among other blessings. So that's how we can receive truly the depths of the gifts of this season in a refreshing way, not just what happened 2,000 years ago. So my question for maybe one or two people, if you want to answer, and based on this question, we're all going to pray. Pray some prayer is, if you don't mind, so you can answer this question. Is the first one is, what does this season mean to unbelievers? What does it mean to them? And two, what does it mean to you? What impact does this season have in your personal life as a believer? So if you answer it, then it will lead us to the prayer points that we can pray tonight. Amen. So just let one or two or three people just answer that question, and I will tell you why. You can unmute and answer. What does this season mean to unbelievers? And then what does it mean to you as a Christian? The birth of Jesus. Okay, wonderful. What does it mean to you?
To me, it's the celebration of Jesus Christ. It's a time that we pause to recognize that the gift was given unto us, the Son of God, that invites us to be a part of God's family now, as opposed to still being the outsiders of the Gentiles, but just to be a part of God's family. I see the gift of light. I give this gift of salvation that's come to us, hope, power, through his word
Amen. Thank you very much. Now, very good. Okay, let somebody else share again. What does this gift mean to unbelievers from your own understanding? And then what does it mean to you as a believer?
Hello?
Yes.
It means love, peace. The young believer and salvation to us.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Is this Pastor Grace?
So comfort.
Okay, comfort. Good. Good. Now, I want one more person to share with us. We've heard from Laurie, Pastor Comfort. Let's one more person share with us. What does this day mean to unbelievers, and what does it mean to you as a believer? Amen. Okay. There was somebody else. We don't want to miss that. Somebody has something.
This is Pastor Grace.
Okay.
To the unbeliever, is means sharing, giving. That's, they turn into a pleasure time. That they can. Some of them, time of lost. And some of them, it's just the act of just holiday time or end of the year celebration. As some of them, some think about it. Some of them don't even understand what it is. They just celebrate it just generally as they do to other holidays. But to me, the Bible said the entrance of the Word of God giveth light. To me, it means light to the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals the darkness. It reveals the work of the darkness and brings life to me. because, as I always tell people, say, look at this in the whole year and the whole world. There is no one other celebration that is like the celebration of Jesus Christ. All believers celebrate Him without knowing. Christmas light in all the house, in front of their house, in all the streets. Life has it has never been throughout the year. That is to prove that Jesus is the light of the whole world. That the place is just brightening. Jesus comes to brighten our world, to remove the darkness in our life, to bring us to the light and the understanding of our God. So to me, it's a time of eye opening. It's a time that the light has come into my life. That the Lord has come to remove all the darkness in my life and shine His light into my heart. This is it. It's a chance to reflect that connecting with the Word of God, that the light has come, the light of God has come to this world. With the entrance of it, with the announcement of it, and the birth of Jesus Christ, with the celebration of it, even the physical realm. Just took over the whole world with the bright things everywhere. This is so proof to me that Jesus is the light. That my life needs to be enlightened in the things of God. You know, even the redemption that even is in the time of Easter, that to me is already in my life. As my eyes is open, is to help me to reflect on the love of God every year, to connect it to heaven, to let me know that there is no other God besides Jesus Christ. No other God is higher. Every other God that people claim, some of them, you do not neighbor doesn't even know they are celebrating. But with Jesus Christ, at the place of life, at everywhere in the market, the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is being celebrated.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, you all have really answered very well, and you've covered. You know, you're saying the same thing in different ways, and you put more details to it. Now, before we pray, just to summarize, from what we just heard. It shows that from the fall of man, looking at Genesis, when the devil, God says that the seed of this woman will crush the head of the serpent. That means from the fall of man, nobody has been able to crush the head of the serpent, you know, or to fulfill that prophecy, except until Jesus came. And He left the glory and everything of heaven, like we read in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven and came here for a very short time to fulfill that assignment. And then in fulfilling that assignment, the Bible made a statement about Him becoming a servant and then going to suffer death and going to the cross and dying a shameful death on the cross, and God exalted His name. Now, it was on that cross that finally that prophecy was fulfilled. But He was born, that they were celebrating the birth of Christ, but He came through this birth to fulfill a purpose. And that fulfillment was to crush the head of the serpent. And He finished that work, and He said it was finished on the cross. And then after that, He now delegated, He now released us. Unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, He cannot reproduce itself. So now we've been commissioned as the church. And He said now we're the light. So why going through all this? Paul made a statement in various writings about, like what our sister said now, about the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people, that they will not receive the light that is in the Son of God. And then Paul wrote in one place, says, we are delivered from darkness into his marvelous light, into the light of Christ. And then here Paul was saying in Ephesians that there is a process. There is a way to make this thing happen. And he says, one of the ways you open people's eyes to see what they cannot see and what they have not seen before is through prayer. He says, I bow my knees and I pray that the Father, the God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your eyes be open. So here we see the power of intercession, the power of prayer. So Jesus, again, is sitting on the right hand of the Father in Romans 8. It says, intercedes for us, intercedes for us. So what is intercession? What is the prayer of intercession? The prayer, look at every one of us here today from what we just shared tonight. We were once unbelievers. We were once in darkness. We were once under the feet and the connivance of Satan, until somebody brought us out of that and put Satan under our feet. So we were once in darkness and we were once blinded. We didn't have light. We didn't have the Son of God. We didn't have anything. But from the scriptures now we see that it's through the prayers, the intercession of asking thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, believing God to break the blindness and the darkness that was on my life, that was on our lives, and something happened, and our hearts were open to the gospel. Our hearts were open to this seed to be sown. We received the light, we received Christ, and we're born again, and we're saved. You see, this season reminds us that we, as God's children, as the church now, the people on earth, we have now been delegated, just like what Jesus did. When we were lost, unbelievers, we were totally blind. He knew that all our celebration, everything that we do in life, whether we're rich, poor, everything we are doing, he knew we're blind. He knew we're lost. He knew we're dead, and we're unbelievers, meaning it was impossible for us to make it to heaven or to even receive anything pertaining to the kingdom. So what did he do? He left every throne, his glory, he left everything only to serve in the flesh for a short time. For one purpose, he was after the unbelievers. He was after the lost. And here, Paul says, one of the greatest weapon against spiritual blindness, against every satanic blindness in the world today, is people who pray, is people who stand in the gap, breaking blindness of people to cause the light of God to come. And then also for the church, there are people so blinded, layers that certain gifts are, and he's saying it is through the same prayer that opened the eyes of the unbeliever, still opened the eyes of believers to get to levels of spiritual revelation, that they can walk in the fullness of what Jesus has done. So today, I believe one of the gifts we can give today is for us, you know, you cannot mute your phone, for us to take just a short moment today, and sometime when you're free through this season, and just pray for the lost. Just like today, let's pray for especially the Muslims. Let's pray for Islamic blindness, the blindness of Hindus, the blindness of people who Satan has so blinded, so laden with thick blindness that only prayer can break through. Let's pray for our unbelievers, no matter who they are. You know, let's pray that God, in this season, that Jesus, instead of that, wherever they are eating, wherever they are hearing a bell at the market, wherever they go, that there will be a breaking forth in their mind that this Jesus will not be a ritual that they hear about 2,000 years ago, something that they have to celebrate after December, then they go back again. But let it be a reality to people in this season, that God will encounter people like he did with Saul on the way, that God will encounter people through visions, that let's just partner with heaven, that this season the coming of Jesus will not be a thing of the past. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that it will be a reality to some people in this season. Let that be our gift to God in this season. Not only on this line, I'm just sharing something you can do in this season. And then the second prayer is, like Paul prayed, let the package, this gift we call Jesus Christ, let God open another level of this package to us, that we can really own and say, you know, my eyes has been opened to this realm, to this place that I can walk with God, this place of revelation, this place of understanding, so we can go from glory to glory, knowing that really this season did not pass by without us truly unfolding or receiving a spiritual impartation from heaven. So we celebrate in the physical, celebrate soulishly, but also we celebrate memory, you know, we really enjoy the spiritual reason for this season. So if you unmute your phone, I will ask Laurie, the first person that shared, to lead us. You know, you all were in agreement about the world doesn't have salvation, we have. So let's pray for salvation. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray especially for our family members, people in all your family on this line that have not known the Lord. Let's pray that they will encounter God in this season. Amen. And let's pray for those that are unsaved. And let's pray for ourselves that God will open some gifts in our lives, you know, another level of the packet. So lead us in prayer. And then Pastor Comfort, who was on the line, also lead us to pray. Amen. Because of the time that we have, you all can lead us. And then I will pray. And then we can turn it over to Keziah to lead us from there. But let's just, and when you leave this line, find some time this season. That's the whole reason I felt, you know, led to share this. Do not let this season pass without a burden to see God invest in somebody's heart through your prayer, to see the light of Jesus coming. Amen. So Laurie, you can lead us and we'll go from there. Let's join them as they, you know, can pray softly and while they lead us out loudly and pray. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Imaros katababosa. Seke makariabakosa. Yeke sotorosa. Yes, sotorokumasa. Yes, ikabosa. Yongisa. Oko yeboka kaisa. Isa. Mongusa. Yes. Mongusa. Jesus. Mongusa. Ikabosa. Jesus. Yes. Yes. Makari bakabosa. Isa. Makusa. Eko yeboka bosa. Yes. Makabakasa. Yes. Makusa. Eko yebosa. Yes. Eko yebokosa. Mongusa. Yes. Yes. Mongusa. Jesus. Eko yebosa. Shete bosa. Yes. Eko bosa. Yes. Turo bokosa. Yes. Santa Makaria boka bosa. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Pastor Comfort?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Is that how you are doing your thing? What is the marriage that has suffered the most?
Yes.
Thank you for our instructor. Thank you for everyone that's present on the line.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for our sister's document to us.
Yes.
For the salvation of every soul.
Yes.
For love and comfort.
Yes.
For the adoration.
Yes.
For the
yes.
For
yes. Yes. Makabosa. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Father, open our eyes to see you.
Yes.
Our ears to hear you.
Yes.
And our hearts to receive you.
Yes.
God, thank us to go deep.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we are standing here.
Yes.
You won our part.
Yes.
We have done enough for me.
Yes.
Father,
you're going.
Father, I'm going to go.
Yes.
I'm
finished
every promise.
Amen. Father, we are gathered here by the drawing of your Spirit. We thank you because you so love the world. And you gave your only Son for the purpose of redemption, to bring us out of darkness to light. Father, we thank you because such love has never changed. You are still mindful of the lost. You are still mindful of those that are bound. You are still mindful of those that Satan has put under their feet. But we thank you because the work has been finished on Calvary. And Satan is now, his head has been bruised. Father, we come under the umbrella of this authority of the blood. We come under the umbrella of the name that is above every name. Father, we declare that on this Christmas, Father, let it be a memorial, O God, that will be remembered. Father, let this Christmas, O God, even as you gave birth to your Son, you brought light into darkness in this world. We pray, Father, that this Christmas will be different in the life of millions of people. Father, we pray for visitation. We pray for encounters. We pray for an awakening from darkness to light. We pray for deliverances. We covenant want with you, O God, that this will be a Christmas with a difference. That those who have not known you will receive the first time in their life a radical transformation from darkness to light. Father, we are believing that you, O God, will take the incense that are still in the very bowl before your throne. And you will hear the cries of many generations. You will hear our prayers. Those who have been standing day and night. Father, it's all for no reason, but we want to see the lost turned back to you. Father, we pray that you, O God, will answer prayers as you did 2,000 years ago. You sent forth your son, you said, born of a woman, to redeem those who are captives by the rudiments of this world. Father, we thank you that let this be a fullness of time in the life of many who are still bound, many who are still blind. Father, we pray that there will be massive salvation that will bring glory to you, that the blood of your son will not just be a thing of memorial, but it will be something that is active and alive even in this hour. So we thank you that many will come to you in this season. Father, awaken many, hear, O God, and respond to the very tears of our eyes for the lost to know you. We pray that your mercy will rest upon Israel because of their blindness we came to you. Father, so now, God, we pray for your mercy, that through the mercy, their blindness will be broken, that they will find light again. We pray for every religion that has been strongholds in the minds of the people. Father, today our heart goes out to the lost. Our compassion, your mercy, O God, that brought us into your kingdom, let that be released upon the earth. Father, we pray for every religion, Islam, Hindu, everyone which is, O God, we pray for divine interruption of what Satan has held them. Father, let the head of Satan be bruised up clearly in this hour, like that it will be known that the coming of Jesus has bruised his head, that is defeated, and you have finished this work, and the blood of your son has given access to deliverance and to light and to salvation. We pray, O God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, those who have accepted salvation, those who have accepted, those who already have the light. Father, I pray in agreement with your servant Paul that you, O God, will allow this season to bring another realm of opening our spiritual eyes to really receive and start walking in the full package of what Jesus has come to do. Not just salvation, not just deliverance, not just provision, Father, but to walk in the riches and the glory and the revelation of your son in our lives. Father, we thank you for this season. Father, we celebrate, O God, what heaven has done. And Father, I pray as we gather with families and friends, we pray that your presence will make a difference, that your love will be evident, your peace will be evident, that the fellowship will not eliminate your presence, but your presence will make truly the reason for this season. Father, thank you for everyone on this line. Remember every one of their family members, oh God, that have not known you. Remember every one of our family members. We covenant them to your presence, and we pray that their darkness be broken, that something be activated, that the knowledge of Jesus become a reality to them. We thank you for it, and we give you glory. Let that be our Christmas gift, oh God, that somebody we know, somebody close to us, accepted you this season. And to you be all the glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.